In preparing for this message, oh my God, I got so much stuff. So I'll tell you, if you're looking for God to appear, He will appear. I got a poem. I don't know when I got it. It was in the last year, but I never even had the secretary type it up or anything because for whatever reason it was, I didn't feel it was timely. I just kind of put it back in the Bible. And it came out yesterday, and the Lord spoke to me, and He said, the word I gave you some months back is for wings this morning. You know, in God's realm, everything is now. He knows. He sees the beginning, the middle, and the end. So when you're in the Spirit, sometimes you'll see things and hear things that really aren't even for now. Because we dwell in this carnal realm down here in our humanity, when we hear something from the Lord, we go, oh, praise God. That must be for me today or something like that. But you have to wait on the Lord. And timing is a big thing with the Lord. Every one of us in this building that is born again have all got out in front of God, for the exception of nobody here, unless you're not looking for God. And then it doesn't make any difference if you get behind Him or you get in front of Him. You don't care. But if you're really seeking the Lord, you can hear things above, where He dwells, and frankly, where you dwell with Him. Your spirit is seated with me in heavenly places. Amen? That's what the book says? The book says you are complete in Christ. It is finished. You are perfect in my eyes. Now, when you go above, when you give God your time and your attention, when you devote your mental faculties to Him, all of a sudden you start seeing that you're perfect in Him, that you're complete in Him, that you're worthy because of Him, that you're all righteous. You're the righteousness of God in Him. And all of a sudden you get the warm fuzzies and you go, I don't want to come down from this realm, Lord. But eventually, you do, because there's still some things, some refining, some processing, and all that God's doing to you. They're doing through you, not to you, through you, and for you. So when you come down in this earthly realm, how do I know when I'm dwelling in the carnal realm? Well, it's real easy. You're critical of yourself. You don't love yourself. You don't feel that you're worthy. Okay? And if anybody says anything about you that you heard somebody say about you, it just crushes you. Because your mind is yet carnal. And you're not allowing God to renew your mind as to your new identity, as to who you are in His kingdom. So you'll be walking, you'll have a lot of depression. You'll be depressed all the time. And because you don't love yourself, you won't love others. Because until I find out how greatly loved I am, and until you find out how greatly loved you are, you cannot love one another. Until you know in your heart that Jesus Christ has forgiven you, you can't forgive others. If you feel God is holding your sins against you, however you perceive God is however you'll be. And if you're critical and if you're judgmental, then you think your God is critical. And He's watching every move you make. And boy, you step out of line one time. I love you, but Jesus shed His blood for you. But if you step out of line, you're going to pay the consequences. Tell that spirit to go to hell, where it came from. From the pit. Okay. Because in Christ Jesus, there is no condemnation. If you feel condemned here this morning, it's the old man hanging around your old house. And you got to shut him out. You got to shut him out. And that's what the Lord wants us to see this morning. He wants us to see these things. Stay awake. He wants us to see these things. Can you see his kingdom? He said to Nicodemus, unless you're born again, you can't see the kingdom. He said, unless you're born, another translation says, unless you're born from above. Above. This is a higher dimension we're talking about, that God has called us to walk in. And unless you're born from above, you cannot see my kingdom. Now, I would venture to say, by God's grace, that everyone in this room can see God's kingdom. I believe you can. I know all of you. I've talked with all of you. You can communicate spiritually. Much of your conversation is in heaven. You know the Lord. You love God. But yet, much of God's body is still walking in defeat. And they forgot all his benefits. Now let me say something to you. Forgetting God's benefits is not your fault. Because when we were lowered into this dimension from where we came, we were with God in the beginning. And we were lowered into this dimension. Didn't Jesus say, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb? Don't look at me cockeyed. Don't say, well, where are you coming from, Brother Jim? What do you mean I was with you? I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. You were with me even before the beginning. Because there is no beginning. There is no beginning. Jesus started a beginning 6,000 plus years ago, whatever. He created this earth. In the beginning was the Word. But prior to that beginning, he never had a beginning. He was. He was. It's so hard to wrap your mind around that. I know jokingly for years, when Marge is with me, and I probably embarrassed her a half a dozen times or more, we're in restaurants or bank tellers or whatever, and they'll always say, is there anything else I can get you or do for you? And I go, yeah. Where did God come from? Some of them smile, you know. Some of them look at me like, oh my God, who is this dude? But, you know, one day I said to myself, Lord, what is the answer to that question? Where did you come from? He said, I'll tell you the same thing I told Moses. I am. I never was. I always am. I always was. I am. I have no beginning. I have no ending. I am. And I am in you. Hear what I just said by the Spirit? Are you hearing from above now? I am in you. Now, if you hear from below, you're saying, well, yeah, Christ is in me. I got that. But God says, I am in you. The Almighty One. The Omnipotent One. The All-Powerful One. There is no power without His power. There is no power. He has all power. He has all authority in heaven and in earth. He has all. He's all powerful. He's omnipotent. He is everywhere. Before you get there, he's there. What more do we have need of? He says, I already know what you have need of before you ask. God is bringing his body above. He is bringing us above this earth realm. He's bringing us out of the realm of death into life, into his kingdom. And we are right now, if you're fellowshipping with God, if you're spending time alone with God, if your mind is focused on God, and you are completely entrusting your whole being, your finances, your health, everything to God, you are now starting to see the first rays of sonship rising, coming on the horizon. All creation is groaning to see the manifestation, the appearing, the revealing of these sons of God, of these daughters of God. And you are starting to see the first rays, the dawning of a new day in this earth. His sons and daughters are starting to march. Now, I'm speaking to you prophetically. I'm speaking to you from above. Now, if you're sitting there scratching your head, I don't quite know. I get that. That's okay. And the Lord says that's okay too. But if you'll come to me, you won't have to scratch your head. If you'll come to me, I'll give you understanding. I'll give you all this wisdom. I'll give you this knowledge. Habakkuk says, for the glory of the Lord, for the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And the Lord spoke something very interesting to me, probably in the last 10 days. He said, son, that verse says that the knowledge of my glory is going to cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. Another translation says, as the waters fill up the sea. I thought that was good, Kathy. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord will be flooding the earth as the waters cover the sea. And Jesus said, that's not my knowledge. That's the knowledge of it. That's the knowledge of it. And the word to wings is, you are very knowledgeable people. You know my glory. You see my glory. Now, I want you to experience my glory. But the only way that we're going to be able to experience the glory with God is we are going to have to become experientially one with Him. I know that we are by faith one with Him, and I believe that. Every one of us is one with God. But we need to see this, and we need to know this in our knower, that we are one with Him. We need to know, don't want to get too heavy for you, but we need to know that we're part of the Godhead. We're on the board of directors with the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. Jesus is part of the Godhead, right? And where are you at? You are in Him. And if you are in Him, you are part of this glorious Godhead. When the board of directors are meeting in heaven, you are invited. Come on in. You're a son. You want to know what the Father's doing? It's no mystery. Oh, well, you know, God's ways are not our ways. God's thoughts are much higher than my thoughts are. That's what the prophet said in the Old Testament under the law. That's what the Old Testament says. If you're under the law, well, then God's thoughts are far higher than your thoughts. Don't even try to get a hold of Him. Just pray to Him. Give Him your wish list. Tell Him what you need. Got a house payment, Lord? But then Jesus comes and He says, I've given you my mind. My thoughts are not higher than your thoughts. My thoughts are your thoughts. Your thoughts are my thoughts. That's the New Testament. That's the new contract. That's walking above with God, understanding that we have the mind of God. We have the mind of Christ. Now, if you're walking below, I'm trying to show you the difference here in below and above. Jesus says, I'm from above. You're from beneath. That's what He said to one of the Pharisees. He said, I'm from above. You're from below. Proverbs says, this is so important, guys. I can find that scripture. I've got so many papers and notes and this, that, and the other thing. Praise God. This is a verse that the Lord gave me some months back. And the Holy Spirit just kept bringing it back to me and bringing it back to me. Well, Lord, if you want me to find it. Very well could be. Okay. Well, I'll give you my rendition of it. Proverbs 18:26, I think it is, where it says, "For the wise man lives above, that he might escape the hell below." Jesus says, "Rejoice, O ye heavens, but woe unto the earth, for the devil has come down to you, and he knows his time is short." But the Lord said, "Son, you're in the heavens. I've called my people into the heavens. They don't have to be concerned about atomic bombs. They don't have to be concerned about depressions coming. Put some canned beans in your basement. Unless God tells you to. But we don't have to worry about those things if we're walking above." Amen? The wise man walks above that he might escape the hell below. And I got news for you. There's a lot of hell in this earth. Amen? There's a lot of hell we go through. There's a lot of fire we go through. And let me tell you something. I really believe in my heart a lot of it is unnecessary. I think a lot of it is of our own making because we're walking below. We're always worried. We're always stressed out. Yada, yada. It just goes on. It's like a domino effect. Now, I know that through all this, the Lord is with us. We gain knowledge and wisdom through all this as we see it through the eyes of the Lord. And we're going to go through stuff, okay? Like the bumper sticker says, stuff happens. We're going to go through stuff. But if you're above, it's like it doesn't matter. It's like Paul said, you know, if I die or if I stay here, what's a big deal? I hang around for your benefit. That's what he said. Whether I'm in the body or out of the body, I don't care. To be in the body is to be present with your five senses. To be out of the body is to be present with the Lord. God wants us to come out of this body of death that we're walking in and come above. To be out of the body, to come out of the body, is to be present with the Lord. Now, if you're hearing me below, that's a good funeral verse. How many times you hear the preacher at the funeral? Well, we know when we die, we're out of the body and we're present with the Lord. And that's good. But when God speaks it to you, he says, "I want you to come out of the five senses of the body. And I want you to be present with me. I want you to come up here." How many times have we heard in the last year or two, "Come up here"? How many times from this pulpit have we heard, "Come up here"? What has that meant to you? When you leave this building, have you ever went to the Lord and say, "Lord, what do you mean, come up here? What does that mean?" Anyway, the Lord says, "I've called you to be agents of change." I've called you to be agents of change, to bring forth a message that will manifest my name. So move forward in the power of my might, that this word would truly pierce through the darkness of this night and bring forth this message of true life. For surely that will bring about my desired change, and you will see a people that will be the latter rain. And they will rise up in the splendor of my name, and the world will start seeing the power of my R-E-I-G-N, reign. God has called this fellowship to be agents of change, to be a manifestation of His glory, to be a manifestation of the Father. We can't learn anymore, guys. We've been sitting in Sunday schools and preaching for 30 plus years, 40 years in my case. There was a bird that got trapped in my house. I went out. Marge gets home because I have to go out there at 9, 10 o'clock at night. I inherited this from my dad. My dad always used to get up at 9 o'clock and he'd go out and open the door. He'd just breathe in all that fresh air and he'd shut the door and then he'd go on back and sit down. Well, I kind of inherited that, I think, from my dad. So one night I went out, just last week or two, honey, and I opened up the door. And when I opened up the door, a bird went, whew, just flew right in the house. Well, do you have to open it? No. and I didn't. I love birds. Don't you love birds? I love birds. And he was such a cute little, like a sparrow. Just a cute little sparrow. And I thought, oh, my God, Lord, I don't want to kill this guy, you know. How am I going to get him out of here without killing him? So I thought, well, I'm sitting there probably 15, 20 minutes with Marge on the couch, and I'm thinking, well, I can go out and get the thing in the pool that we rake the leaves out of, and I can go and run him around. I trapped him in my den. I shut the door. He's in the den, and I'll go around with my net. And if he flies into my net, then I thought, I hope he doesn't break his wings or something. Then I said, honey, maybe if we get a sheet and we go in there, because he's flying every time we come in here, he'd fly from there to here to there. I said, maybe we can get the sheet and put it up there real quick, you know. And so my mind is trying to devise all these ways we can catch and help this little birdie. And Marge comes up with this stupid suggestion. Honey, yeah. Have you ever thought about opening the window? She was above. I was below. I was trying through my own carnal efforts. How can I preserve and save this guy? She just says, well, just open the window. He'll fly out. Okay. So I went and opened the window. 2 minutes later, out he goes. You know, and experiences like that, the Lord speaks to us through experiences like that. Because the room that that bird was trapped in was all books, religious books, men, books that I bought for 35 years, Ken Copeland, Hagen, all these guys, you know. I just feast and eat on all that stuff. And the Lord said to me, son, let me talk to you about that bird in your den. Let me tell you why I sent him. That bird was trapped amongst all those books. He was in a room full of knowledge. And he was trapped. All you had to do, this is what I need to do with my people in this hour, open the window. Open the window. Saints of God, the windows are open in heaven to you. How do I know that? Because Jesus said, I am the way. Jesus said, I am the window. I am the door. And if you open the door, and you have, you can come in and sup with me. You can eat with me. We can eat together. You won't have to stay on milk all the time. You can start eating some bread, and then when I filled you up with the bread of life, then you can start eating some meat. Okay? And that's what God wants us eating the meat of the Word. The disciples said, Lord, he wants to go and get you something to eat. And he said, no, it's okay. I've got meat to eat of that you know not of. He loved them, but they were carnal. Amen? And they would probably remain carnal until the day he left them, until they couldn't idolize his body, that physical temple of his. He says, I've got to go away. But I'm not going to leave you orphans. I'm going to come back again. And he did. He came back in the Holy Ghost. And there was 120 of them up in the room, the upper room, and they were waiting for the promise. What was that promise? To receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And don't let any denomination or any preacher tell you there is no such thing as a baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because God always works in threes, you know. Jesus, you know him as your Savior. Christ, you know him as your baptizer. And Lord, you know him as your life. And that's the way the Lord wants us to move through this thing. First, you open the door to Jesus. But then when you see the kingdom of God, you've got to enter it. Well, Brother Jim, are you telling me I haven't entered the kingdom of God? I'm saved, man. I know you're saved. But it's like he said to Nicodemus, Nicodemus, unless you're born from above, you're not even going to be able to see the kingdom. And Nicodemus was below in his carnal mind. He said, well, I can't climb back in my mother's womb again. Jesus wasn't talking about a physical death. What Jesus in reality was saying to him was, Nicodemus, I knew you before I formed the world, and you knew me. Now I'm going to remember you. Now, when you walk through me and you believe in me, you're going to see this great kingdom that you were a part of, that you fell from. But now I've reversed that curse at Calvary. Now you're being resurrected and quickened back up into the kingdom of God, back into the Garden of Eden. And he said, now that you see the kingdom of God, you've got to be born of the water and of the Spirit in order to enter. Jesus was saying two different things there. Most of the body of Christ doesn't even have a clue that seeing the kingdom and entering the kingdom are two different things. Now, if you see the kingdom, you're saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. If you leave this earth and you never go one step further, you're still going to enter into a kingdom that's 1,000 times more glorious than the life you're living here. But if you want to enter the kingdom of God, Jesus is the kingdom. He's the extension of the kingdom. And he wants you to enter the kingdom. You look up that word enter, it means to side with, to be at one with, to receive life. So when you see the kingdom, you know something has transpired inside of you. You know that. You know you've changed. You know you're not like your worldly friends. You know that you shouldn't be out smoking dope and drinking booze and all that stuff. But when you start entering the kingdom, when you start fellowshipping with God, when you start focusing on God, all of a sudden, the kingdom within you becomes the priority other than the kingdom outside of you. Because greater is the kingdom in you if you'll explore it, if you'll ask him, if you'll seek it, if you'll knock. Because he says, and I love this verse, everyone who asks receives. Isn't that something? That means he's not leaving any one of us out. Anyone who asks, he said, receives my kingdom. Anyone who asks. Well, Lord, I haven't been to Bible college. I don't have a PhD in theology. And then Jesus says something smart-alecky like, unless you come as a child, unless you receive my kingdom as a child, you will no wise enter into it. Well, I can do that. I can come as a child. I'm not the smartest, sharpest knife in the drawer. I can come as a child. And he says, well, if you'll come as a child, and you can meditate on that a little while in your prayer time when you think about what a child is like, believes everything daddy tells him to do, like Oscar uses or somebody, you know, daddy stands down in the pool and the kid comes up and jumps off the side of the pool into her father's arms because she trusts him. She has complete faith and trust in him. And the Lord is saying, if you want to enter, God wants to make sure that we realize that entering the kingdom is not difficult. It is not difficult. It's extremely easy. It's all by his grace. All you have to do is ask, and you'll receive. The problem is getting many of our brothers and sisters to even ask. They're asking for car payments. They're asking to heal their body. They're asking for prayers for their mother and their daddy, and all those things are good. But the Lord wants you to ask. to enter into everything that he is, because he is the kingdom. It's not a planet, we know that, with a big mansion. He is the kingdom. He is the extension of the glory of God that has come to the earth. And the more we come to him and the more we fellowship with him, the more treasures we dig out of the Christ inside of us, and the more wisdom and the more knowledge starts building up in us. And all of a sudden, this kingdom starts to become more and more of a reality until we're just totally consumed with it. And then when you get up in the morning, the first thought that's on your mind is, glory to God, let's go get them, Lord. And when you go to bed at night, it's praise you, Lord. What a glorious day this has been. Even though I got the crap kicked out of me a couple of times, hey, that's okay. Even though a bird flew in my house and pooped all over my books, that's okay. There was a purpose. There was a reason, because I was seeing it from above. Because when I look at it below, my mind is telling me things of woe. But when I look at it from above, my mind is telling me grace and peace and love. Amen. Oh, dear Lord, I pray this day to keep my mind while in the way. For as I look to you above, as I look to you above, you fill my mind with peace and love. But when I set my sights below, oh, my mind does tell me things of woe. And since I know your kingdom is ahead, I'll purpose in my heart to reckon my mind dead. The carnal man is dead. He's buried. He's gone. And I'll press forward. And I'll never look behind. And I'll trust that you're renewing every part of my mind. I'll never look behind. The devil's good at that. Well, you know, you had an abortion. You really think God's going to... Yeah, you know, you've been divorced twice. You really think this third one's going to... You really think God's pleased? Stop looking behind. It's all under the blood. Even the things you do tomorrow is under the blood. You're innocent. The judge of all the universe has declared you innocent. Yeah, but Brother Jim, I know I'll slip and fall tomorrow. Well, Paul did too. The very thing I know I shouldn't do. Daggone it. I went and done it. But you know, he said something very interesting, and I don't know if you ever caught this before. He said, with my heart, I serve God. But with the flesh, this thing wants beer and pot and sex and this money, and it just wants it all. It lusts after all the things of this life. And I can't do that. He said, so if I really worship God with my heart and I really want to do what God wants me to do, and we do, he says, then it's not me that's doing the sin. It's not me. It's the flesh. Now, before you Baptists get your hackles up, if you're listening to this tape, where there is no law, there is no sin. Where there is no law, there is no sin. And Jesus said, I fulfilled the law. Yes. You're in me. You're not under the law anymore. You're under grace. Yeah, but what happens if where sin abounds? The verse doesn't end there. Grace abounds much more. And God's going to reel you in. Like Lynn Howell said, God's a stalker. He's a stalker. Lynn said, I ran from God. I got into booze and this and that and the other thing. He said, and I'd go into a bar, and he said, bless God. I'd be 700 miles away from home, and I'd go into a bar, and I'd be sitting next to a drunken preacher. And he'd look at me and say, you know, we really shouldn't be in this place. Jesus really loves. Oh, my God. He said, I'd get up, and I'd move off that bar stool, and I'd go to another one. He said, then somebody'd put a quarter in the jukebox, and a song would come on. I'm always loving you. I've made up my mind. I can't get away. He says, he's a stalker. Wherever you go, he's going to stalk after you. Praise God. His love is unconditional. It never ends. I will throw this caveat in there just for people that have a problem with this what they call the radical grace message. I call it the glorious grace message. I'm not crazy about the word radical, but I understand where they come from because it is radical. But the Lord, when I've written poetry, he says, tell them about my glorious grace. Okay? We're not under the law anymore, but there is a new law in us. It's the law of the Spirit and life in Christ Jesus. We're not standing up here and giving you a license to sin, go out and smoke dope tomorrow. Because there's another law in us, but it's the law of the Spirit. And as you get close to the Lord and you start partaking of His nature and His character, you will escape the lust and the corruption that's in the world. All right, I'll read just a couple of paragraphs and I'm going to let you go. I know it's Mother's Day and we all got to get out there and take care of Mom. All right. Now, I don't know where I got this, who I stole it from or what, but I only steal good stuff. I promise you. If I read anything to you and it's from another man or another woman, it's going to be good. I only steal good stuff, okay? And this is it. And then we'll close. The Christian life is not about doing or trying to become something. It's about discovering who you already are in Christ Jesus. It's not about knocking on doors. It's not about passing out 4 spiritual law tracts. Those things are all good. And the Lord may lead you to do that. Don't misunderstand me, because I did that stuff myself. And I still do. I've got Bibles in my office. And when I minister to somebody and they receive Christ, I reach back and I get that good news, New Testament Bible, and I give it to them. I want to make sure that when they walk out, they got the Word in their hand. But it's not about what you can do to please God. You don't have to try to become something that you already are. Why do we work so hard at becoming something we already are? All you have to do is enter into your rest, receive His grace. And let me put it to you this way. I felt the Lord said, son, if you're going to come into all this, you're going to rest your way into my grace. I said, well, Lord, I don't know if that's scriptural. Because it says, you got to labor to enter into the rest. And the Lord said, well, that's true, but the thing you have to labor against, son, is the unbelief that's still left in you, down deep in your data banks, that keeps rearing its ugly head. Every time I'm calling you and every time you draw near to me, there's this thing in there. I could be back in private time with the Lord at 3 o'clock in the morning, having a great time of praise and worship, and all of a sudden some ungodly thought will come into my mind. I'll say, where in the world? How can that happen? I'm back here praising God, reading the Word, and all of a sudden, zip, something just bizarre comes through my mind. Just ignore it. Just ignore it. Those things are all passing away. Oh, here's that verse. Praise God. Proverbs 15:24. The way of life is above to the wise, that he may depart from the hell below. And then I heard Lynn Hiles say this. The life of Jesus is not something to be achieved. It's something to be received. Jesus already achieved it for us on Calvary. Now we have to receive it. We have to spend time with him. We have to know what the contract says. He's entered into a contract with us, Wiley. It's a contract of peace. It's a contract of prosperity. Praise God. I had something happen to me 2 weeks ago, and I'll close. I had a whole company walked out on me. I own 4 or 5 companies. And one of the companies has 7 employees, and 6 of them just got up and walked out. What the blank is this all about? I've been in business 45 years. I've never had something like that happen. Oh, I have somebody leave for a better opportunity or whatever. I get that, no problem. If you're going to better yourself, go. But what happened was there was a competitor of mine that he had been after my whole division. I didn't know that for quite some time. He was asking the girl, so what do you make? One girl says, well, I'm on $55,000 plus bonus. He said, I'll give you a $35,000 sign-on bonus, and I'll make your base $75,000 plus bonus. Wow. And this was my sister. This is the one that was telling me the day she came here, I know God sent me here. Praise God. Well, he did. He did. I believe that. And then she went and talked to this guy that owned Brand X. And she said, man, I'd really like to take my staff with me because we're a team. Well, they were a team. They were always out, whatever. They were a team. So this guy says, well, get them. Just get them. What are they making? So she told him what they're making. Up at 10,000, give them all $5,000 sign-on bonus. So she goes out to lunch and she starts telling all the other employees, listen, there's this guy. I know what you're making. He said he'll give you 10,000 more, 5,000 sign-on bonus, blah, blah, blah. So next thing you know, one day, all six of them walk out. I looked at her. They said, yeah, we just didn't feel appreciated, boss. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. But I went above. Now, in the old days, I'd have went below. Said, you lying son. I'd have been ready to fight, okay? Even when I was a Christian, I'd be ready to duke it out with you. You think you're going to steal my stuff? You know. We just didn't feel appreciated. Lord said, back off. Who is your source? Is that company your source? Or am I your source? Is Social Security your source? Is the government your source? So I said, okay, Lord, I backed off. You know, it wasn't 3 days later, I started getting calls from people that had tremendous experience in that industry. I thought I was going to have to close it up. I told Toby, I said, Toby, I guess we're just going to have to fold it up. We don't have a company anymore. And all of a sudden, my phone starts ringing. 3 days later, Mr. Wilson, I got 15 years in this, this, and the other thing. I'd be interested in talking to you. So come on in. And he came in, I hired him, a tremendous man, tremendous man. And then he had some friends that were in that industry. And he called his friends and said, I want you to talk to this Jim Wilson guy. I think he's okay, you know, come on over. So next thing I know, within 10 days, the whole department was back with everybody different. Never knew it, they were all different. You went above, son. When you go above, the answer's on the way. The answer's on the way. Praying without ceasing, I often wondered how you did that. I know now. It's walk above 24/7. It's try and walk above. Sounds hard, but let me tell you something. It's all grace. It's not of your doing. All you have to do is ask. And God's grace is abundant. It's abundant. All you need is Jesus. Plus nothing. That's all you need. All you need is Jesus, plus nothing. All right, well, thank you, Father. Thank God, Lord, this word's out of me. I thought I was going to die. Well, Father, you said that you sent your word and healed them, and we know, Lord, 2,000 years ago on Calvary, you sent your word, and you healed all of your creation. Paul said, don't you know that he's the Savior of the world? Well, I thought just a guy was going to get some, but I thought that other guy was going to. No, Paul said, no, huh? He's the Savior of the world, especially of them that believe. Paul went to the third heaven. He was in the Holy of Holies, and he came back and he said, oh my God, as in Adam, all men died. But now since Christ came, all shall be made alive. Hallelujah! We serve a big Jesus. He's not a small Jesus. He ain't going to get a few and the devil's going to get the rest of them. Jesus said, I had 100 sheep and one of them got away. Guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to leave the other 99 back in that pasture land. I'm going to go out and get me that one out there. And I'm going to bring him back. And when you take 99 and 1, you got 100. You got 100%. The lady lost a coin. She kept sweeping her house, but she found that coin. The man had a wayward son. He was a prodigal son. He got away. But the father stood there. He'll be back. He'll be back. And he saw him coming from afar, a way off distance he saw him. And if you're out there and you're a prodigal son and you left the father's house and you went down there and partied with the pigs and drank with the bros, he says, I see you. I see you. Though you make your bed at Duffy's Tavern, I'll be right there with you at Duffy's Tavern. Praise God. Praise God. I will go into any dark place you go, but no dark place can come into me. But I'll go into every dark place you go. I'll go into any hell that you want to make, son, daughter. I really will. But there'll be no hell in me. I have the keys to your hell. You can create some hellacious situation. I got the key. I got the keys to death. I got the keys to hell. If there's hell going on in your life, come to me. I've got the key. I've got the key. Thank you, Father, that we're in an hour, Lord, where you are calling your people up into a place that most of us have never been before. Joshua said, we're crossing over Jordan. Keep your eyes on the ark, for you've never been this way before. Keep your eyes on that ark, Jesus, because you've never been this way before. And it's a spirit way. But Jesus said, I am the way. It's really not that complicated. You don't have to read 100 books. You got one book and that's all you need, the Bible. And just get back in your bedroom and get quiet. Or wherever you want to get quiet. In your car. Eating your Big Mac at McDonald's. Talk to the Lord. Invite Him. Invite Him in. In days past, God said, you know that I live and move and have my being in you. But now, my children, the hour is here when I'm going to live and move and have my being in you. You're crossing over Jordan. You're coming out of this dark life into a kingdom that is so glorious, it's even beyond your wildest imagination. Your mind cannot even conceive the things that I have for them that love me. They don't love the world, but they love me, and I love them. We thank you, Lord, that this is all by your grace. We thank you, Lord, that you're the one that has initiated the whole thing. You put Adam in the garden, you initiated, you created him, you put him there. And even when he decided to rebel and live a self-serving life instead of a God-serving life, you went searching for him. Said, Adam, where you at? Lord, you knew where he was at. You wanted Adam to know where he was at. And that's what this sermon is about here this morning. Church, where you at? Where you at, church? Father, show us where we're at, Lord. And bring us into this abundant life that we hear about, Father. And let us walk this life out, so that the world will know that you have come. Jesus said, Father, I pray that they become one as you and I are one. Then the world will know. And Father, that's the hour we're in. You're bringing a people into an intimacy with you and into a oneness with you, Lord. And they're going to walk this earth. And the people of this earth are going to come to the brightness of the rising of Christ in them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Praise you, Lord. Go have a great Mother's Day. And remember, without mothers, none of you would exist. God had to have a temple to put his life in. And he used mama to make that temple. And he filled it with his life. God bless you.